produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com. First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Marijuana is the biggest cash crop in the United States. Marijuana is now the largest cash crop in the United States, according to data gathered by marijuana reform advocate John Getman. The top three agricultural cash crops in the U.S. that are legal are corn, soybeans, and hay. Marijuana tops those three products with a conservative market value of more than $35 billion annually, while U.S. corn production totals just $23 billion. California is the largest single state producer of cannabis, with an estimated market value of more than $13.8 billion for marijuana grown both indoors and outdoors in the state. This crop value far exceeds the market value of the grapes, vegetables, and hay produced in California. California is also among a small group of states that produce more pot than the residents can consume. According to data from the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, California has 3.3 million cannabis users, representing about 13% of the nation's pot smokers. Getman estimates that marijuana is the top cash crop in California and 13 other states. Getman's report cites figures in a 2005 State Department report estimating U.S. cannabis cultivation at 10,000 metric tons, or more than 22 million pounds. Getman argues that the rate of marijuana cultivation occurring in the United States is reason alone to legalize and tax cannabis like alcohol or tobacco. Advocates of marijuana law reform have estimated that a tax and regulate scheme for legalized marijuana could net the government over $8 billion annually in taxes going both to federal and local coffers. You can read the report with links we have at normalaudiostash.com. We also have links to the marijuana crop reports that reside on Normal's website, norml.org. Stay tuned this week to the Audio Stash for an interview with John Getman about his report. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org and make a holiday donation to Normal today. What greater gift could you give to the entire country, to all of America, than legalizing marijuana? Make marijuana legal for the entire country by supporting Normal. The holiday season is a great time to give charitable giving, not only for the sense of the season, but also for those year-end taxes and returns. So make a donation to Normal today. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. Today on the Audio Stash, we're going to replay an investigative report I produced back in July, on July 18th, as a matter of fact. We've been covering the San Diego legal challenge quite extensively, and in July we spoke with Rudy Reyes, along with members of San Diego's Normal chapter, about the happenings in San Diego. At the time, the dispensaries had just been raided by federal authorities, and Native Sun, a dispensary in San Diego, had been shut down. Rudy Reyes was actually there that day when federal authorities came in. They left a clip of ammunition on the counter, believe it or not, and Rudy had to return the ammunition back to the federal authorities. So coming up next is our July 18th special investigative report here from the Audio Stash on San Diego, California's own hot zone for medical marijuana. This week here on the Audio Stash, we again travel to the front lines of a war, the federal government's war on medical marijuana facilities and the seriously ill patients themselves. Imagine if you were standing in a pharmacy one day when a SWAT team arrived and started throwing sick and ill patients to the floor with automatic weapons pointed to their head. That would make front page news, right? Well, not when those patients are medical marijuana patients. Imagine if your state passed laws and publicly explained the rights for you and your doctor to use marijuana as medicine. Then you began using marijuana only for the state to usher the federal government into your home to confiscate that medicine. That would make front page news, right? The recent medical marijuana facility raids in San Diego, California, are a federal war, creating a veritable Baghdad in California for anyone sick who has sought relief from cannabis. Normal's Daily Audio Stash goes back to those front lines today, staying with a story that almost all other media has chosen to ignore. The raids mark the start of the federal government's renewed confidence to both challenge the decade-old Proposition 215 and find local officials, in this case the San Diego County Board of Supervisors, to give their blessing and support to raids by federal agents on patient facilities and patients themselves. Eric Augusto is the director of San Diego Normal. We caught up with him yesterday via phone. He says that under current state law, there is little protection for the patients and facilities there.
It's hard to do anything from the federal government's raids. I mean, these guys can pretty much come in and get a couple police officers from cities around San Diego County and basically use them as a DEA, cross-deputized San Diego Joint Narcotics Task Force. I mean, I don't really think there's any way that we could stop any federal raids until there's more regulations, and like basically the task force that existed, you know, needs to be brought back together, and they need to go over the guidelines again and make sure that everybody's abiding by them, because they're using SB 420 and guidelines that have been about a year old, year and a half old now, that don't no longer exist according to the guidelines that were 2 years old, and now they're done. So we're trying to get the medical marijuana task force, medical cannabis task force rather, back, and get people on it, people like Rudy, people like Barbara McKenzie, things like that, so that we can have more regulations and more clarifications, so that clubs don't have to be scared of being raided and patients don't have to be scared of going into clubs.
After 10 years of relatively free access to medical marijuana, San Diego has fallen conspicuously behind the rest of California in having open facilities operating for patients. And now that they have been open a short time, they are the first targets of a broader campaign. It seemed like California was leaving its southern patients out in the cold.
Well, exactly. That's one of the biggest problems that we've had down here in San Diego County as activists, is seeing more of a double standard of where in other counties it's all right, and then down here it's not, and I think that, there might possibly be raids in other counties up and down the state, but, down here it's a little bit more difficult to kind of get the politicians to kind of just listen to us, because they just, they don't approach it that way. They know it's been around for 10 years, but they would rather fight it, till its dying breath in court, which is good, because, court's going to get it, get the regulations put in place, That's why it bothers me, but, we've talked to the DA. The DA sounds like he's, just doing his job.
As well as serving as director of San Diego Normal, Eric Augusto worked behind the counter at medical marijuana facilities. I asked him what kind of impact he's seen on patients from federal raids.
Well, to me, what the impact that's had is allowing these patients to no longer be, as they would say, go buy from a seedy drug dealer in a back alley, from going to that to buying it at a place where they come in, they feel comfortable, they get a variety, and they get people who are willing to talk to them and tell them about cannabis and the different effects it has, topically, ingested through edibles and, you know, other ways that, you know, it's beneficial for them. And, I mean, I've seen it, you know, straight, you know, I worked at a club too before, and I've seen the patient progress from, you know, taking medications and pharmaceuticals to not having anything at one point, you know. And that to me is really the goal, is to get the people off, like not off pharmaceuticals, but, you know, at least wean them away from having so many kinds. And I think the clubs have showed them that it's okay for them to go out and, you know, not think that they're a criminal, basically. Just go get their medication at a good price and, you know, just make themselves not feel, you know, like a criminal, pretty much.
The issue of medical marijuana in California goes far beyond the concept of its use at all. California voters have decided again and again that they want patients to experience the benefits of cannabis. Those benefits are not anecdotal. We report on the science of marijuana as medicine every week here on the Audio Stash, but science is doing the legwork for the reality that many individuals have known for generations. Marijuana works on pain, some diseases, and a vast variety of conditions. It works, it helps. Patients who have lived with chronic pain begin to have normal lives. Cancer and anorexia patients gain an appetite. MS and other neurodegenerative patients report that their symptoms are decreased and that their lives are made better. And patients, thousands upon thousands of them now, have found this benefit, and legally too. So what happens when a chronic pain patient slowly weans themselves off opiate medications onto a cannabis-based regimen for pain control? And then their source of cannabis is raided by the federal government and their medicine disappears. You may see a lot of folks in wheelchairs and a lot of pain patients walking the streets of San Diego right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, I remember when I started working at one of the clubs, I mean, I remember this lady was like, you know, she kept telling me she was buying it from her son's, you know what I'm saying, her friend's son who was in, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, to me, that's insane, you know, like a lot of older people don't know how to get it. You know what I'm saying? They get a recommendation from a doctor, and it's like, okay, where am I supposed to get it? You know, according to the guidelines, the city and the, you know, the county, state health departments are supposed to be implementing a car. You know what I'm saying? And now it's just like, they don't. You know, they won't, and it's actually putting the patients at risk because they got this recommendation, but now what do I do with it? You know, I'm going to go to a club, but why would I want to go to a club if I'm going to get raided? You know what I'm saying? And I think that this time they took it easy on the patients and didn't really harass many patients, but they did go out to the clubs, and that is where the patients go, and a lot of them don't know where to go to get their medicine that they need.
So patients are left to fend for themselves on the black market for marijuana. This is the problem that Proposition 215 was in essence designed to solve in the first place. But Prop 215 was only the starting point for better regulation of cannabis and for regular medical consumers. The working guidelines for most dispensaries were outlined under a medical marijuana task force that instituted California SB 420. This time-limited document made the framework for facilities to flourish in California. Unfortunately, SB 420 expired over a year ago. Now patients are left literally out in the street seeking their medication again, cruelly granted by the states and now taken away by the feds. Facilities often reopen after a raid, but the news of armed teams inside the once close and protective atmosphere of the cannabis clubs is enough of a deterrent for already vulnerable patients. The biggest group of patients using medical marijuana is those for which it is most effective. That is, those who suffer neurological conditions like multiple sclerosis. These medical conditions are not something that you can see or even sense. Yet when authorities are conducting these raids in San Diego, there is a definite ad hoc classification of persons with a quote-unquote real need of marijuana based on how they look. Rudy Reyes, a burn survivor whose condition is readily apparent. Rudy has been passed over for arrest. Curious, I asked Eric, who's worked in a cannabis club, what kind of patients were common.
I mean, a lot of these people have jobs, you know what I'm saying, and a lot of their ailments. I mean, it's like you don't want to go to your work and act like you're sick, you know what I'm saying. You go to work, and a lot of these people, especially now that they've been prescribed or recommended to use cannabis, you know, now for them, what the thing is like they have to kind of to hide it from their employers because they don't want to lose their job or get persecuted for trying to help themselves. You know, it's been so demonized that people from across the board, from young to old, use it, and they can't say they use it because they're afraid of repercussions from their bosses. And to me, that's insanity that these guys can be prescribed all these pills and go to work, yet when it comes to, you know, vaporizing or eating an edible or something like that, they're attributed to, you know, a heroin addict or a junkie when it's just how they take the medication.
The situation in San Diego is a window into the federal government's broader policy towards the 11 states that have enacted medical marijuana laws. Rather than respecting the will of local voters, and rather than upholding the unique and genius structure of the American system, the federal government has again switched the rules. Local officials who disagreed with the legalization of medical marijuana began to look for options as well, options that were less time-consuming than state legislation or ballot initiative. Those local officials found some common ground with the federal government, who were ready to confiscate marijuana from anyone at any time, if it weren't for those pesky state laws. Well, when it comes to marijuana, it seems the issue is such a visceral one for the federal government that they are willing to raise the most modern automatic weapons against some of the most ill patients in the country. Sick individuals, desperate for their medicine, and local small business owners are on the front line right now. And as they look for local protection from the well-armed federal government, there is no one else to take the heat.
Saying about like the clubs and the patients being the front line, that is the reality of the situation. To me, I think that the way to get it off is to me the front line should be our elected officials. You know, they're the ones who should be the front line for the patients, the sick and dying patients, and the, you know what I'm saying, and the patients that can't be vocal, like they keep like, oh, you know, be vocal about it. And it's like, to me, you know, I just don't agree with the way they're approaching it. You know, get the task force going again, so that, you know what, people have someone to call and ask questions. You know, and it's a lot of these people aren't allowed even that small little thing.
Right now, the thousands of patients left out in the cold in Southern California by the federal government are without any support network as well. Native Sun, one of the facilities raided, was a holistic health center offering massage, yoga, and in-home wellness care that had nothing to do with marijuana, though it was available to patients with a variety of conditions. The patients, some dispensary owners, and activists are calling for California to reform the Medical Marijuana Task Force and create and implement guidelines as well as regulations for facilities so that the federal officials cannot so easily target them. Most of the raids were predicated on the fact that the medical marijuana facilities at some point sold cannabis to an undercover agent who presented the counter clerk with a forged prescription. If this type of thing were as thoroughly enforced with every prescription or pharmacy in America, then Rush Limbaugh would have never been caught with Viagra in a private jet, and the nearly revolving door policy of American medicine with drugs and drug companies wouldn't be nearly as profitable. Even when enforcement of regular pharmacies and common liquor stores is carried out by undercover agents, for example, attempts by underage persons with a fake ID trying to buy beer or cigarettes, the response by authorities is never with a drawn gun, but with a written fine and/or a court summons. Now wheelchair-bound patients are forced to stare down the barrels of taxpayer-purchased automatic weapons. When the facility is gone, so is any support for the patient customers, leaving them without medicine or any hint as to where to find it. Rudy Reyes, whose own facility was Native Son, spoke about the informal network for patients, mainly his busy phone line.
But I'm the guy everybody calls to know, what should I do? What do I do here? And I don't know the answers. Most of the time, it's an educated guess just because I'm going, hey, this is all we got to deal with. There's nobody who is that person right now.
Many in San Diego expressed a hope that a new medical marijuana task force would form, either in San Diego or in California as a whole. I asked Eric Augusto, director of San Diego Normal, and Rudy Reyes, a patient and activist, what they would like to see out of a task force.
Well, first of all, I'd like to see us get some guidelines going, get something for these dispensaries to be able to operate under for where they're not being prosecuted, being able to tell the DEA not to come after them as a city. That would be very nice.
Well, I mean, it's already operated once, and it was, I mean, it could be, like I said, you know, the recommendations that they've given are, you know, null and void as of about a year or year and a half ago, and to me, pretty much, you know, just regroup the task force, get them going again, see the clubs that they did bust, were they doing something wrong, you know, you learn from this experience instead of keep going and being like, we're going to keep coming after you and keep threatening. They're coming in such a threatening tone that people are afraid to even live, you know, like they're afraid to go to a club. You know, a lot of my friends who are patients now can't go to a club now and are looking for their medicine, and it's like they want us to grow, you know, they want us to, and then again, no, they don't. You know, I feel like they're a little wish-washy, a little flip-flopping on the fact that they're like, you know, you can't grow, and then all of a sudden you can grow if you have patients. You know, if you have a patient, you're a patient, you should be having a caregiver instead of these clubs. You know, and to me, it's just their gray area was given to them purposely so that they had this luxury of coming in and busting people, saying they weren't doing something right, when most of these clubs are following all the recommendations given by the city of San Diego.
But the idea of a task force remains a hopeful solution to what is an ongoing, current, right now crisis of patients in turmoil with no legal direction to turn. There can be no doubt that San Diego is standing out in California right now. While the most prominent facilities there are raided, dozens of medical marijuana facilities continue to operate 60 and 100 miles north. And in no other state where ballot action or legislative measure has authorized medicinal marijuana use, has there been a county-by-county fight with the federal DEA agents serving as foot soldiers. So what makes San Diego so different? I spent a few summers out in Santee, California, east of the city proper, but still well within the county. Having lived in New Mexico for the last 10 years, it's kind of clarified the subtleties of Western politics and Western policing, and I can look back now, catching the attitudes, reflecting on the current themes. But times have certainly changed. In the 8 years since I have seen those gorgeous beaches hugged by those deliciously overexpensive homes, there's been an even greater shift, brought on mostly by the post-9/11 focus on the border and the existing military presence in town. Few places in America have more military presence than San Diego, with naval and marine facilities quite literally downtown, and some of the largest and most active military installations in the country at Camp Pendleton and Marine Air Station Miramar, as well as constant naval operations out in the ocean. The Navy even has a few large islands of their own right there in San Diego. So amidst some of the priciest real estate in California, walk tens of thousands of U.S. soldiers, sailors, and air personnel, all within a very, very short distance of the Mexican border. Eric, Rudy, and everyone I have spoken with in Southern California has remarked at the quote-unquote lockdown status of the area after September 11th.
Oh, yeah, if you come to San Diego, it'll trip you out on how on lockdown and intense it is here.
So right now there's a heavy military presence in San Diego, and one would assume the heightened scrutiny by the federal government of the goings-on there is part and parcel. But what makes the conservatism of San Diego so anti-medical marijuana? Curious, I pressed Eric and Rudy as local residents to explain this phenomena, but the director of Normal in San Diego, with his response, seemed to put all of this into perspective.
I don't want to be like all conservatives are like this, because I think some of them see the issue and agree with us and be like, you know, tax and regulate it. That's really all you can do, because it's a law. It's not like all these people are making up things and are trying to do something wrong. We're just trying to follow the law. as well as they've given it to us, and they haven't. And, I mean, the problem is with them is that, you know, at the beginning of San Diego Normal issuing the letter to them and then getting sued by them that following day, you know, kind of being like, hey, you know what, we're suing you guys because you guys want us to follow the law. You know, and that's all I'm looking at it is just they're just kicking and screaming the whole entire way to doing something that has been their job for almost 10 years now to get at least get implemented. I mean, it doesn't have to be up and running, but, I mean, some movement towards that direction would be nice. And getting these guys to do something and even sit down and talk to any of us, you know, to solve this issue as opposed to keep arresting people and keep spending all this money on raids. And to me, that's a waste of money, considering, you know, the financial situation of the county. You know, I mean, to me, it's just a waste of money that can be used towards a task force.
There is something in America that is supposed to come between politics, and that is the law. The written law, as well as the real and living law, that binds us all together in some form of a society. The law is not being followed. In America, if you don't like the law, you change it via a very long process. And what we have here are people ignoring the process, people ignoring the law. And this is part of a broader problem right now. And this is part of a broader problem right now. I believe that marijuana law reform is the most important social justice issue our country is facing. Everywhere there is a legal conflict over marijuana, the cases seem to highlight root problems with our systems overall. With arrest numbers, you can see the racism of law enforcement and courtroom due process, the spent ambition and harsh reality of mandatory minimums. In marijuana growing cases, we can see the problems with the wide and lingering property forfeiture laws, and with medical use, the harshest of our modern problems begin to be revealed. The issues of selective intelligence, above-the-law attitudes and actions by a government that seeks more and more control over its population, especially medically.
What the people down here are trying to say is, like, to me, they're approaching it because the clubs, they consider them drug dealers. They consider them full-on, you know, gun-wielding, back-alley drug dealers that have just decided to open up a shop. And, you know, and to me, that's, you know, that's insane. You know, that's them assuming what's going on, you know. And it's like, I can't, you know, vouch for everybody and be like, everybody's doing everything legit, which I hope they are, you know. But for them to come and put everybody in the box, be like, you're a drug dealer, and it's these little small places that only cater to a handful of people, and you know what I'm saying? But it's basically they're going back to the regulations of the task force that were given that have been, you know, old for a couple of years now, and instead of, like, upgrading them and being like, hey, maybe we should change this, maybe we should change that, they're using that, which they said they weren't even going off of back in the day. They would say, like, oh, we're not even using that because it's federally illegal, so why do we need to follow, you know, city guidelines? And to me, it's just they keep biting their tongues on, like, trying to approve it. And
the insanity in California, that can stop. The cycle of real and symbolic violence happening in America, that can stop. The new symbolic actions of freedom in this country can be with cannabis chocolates and medical marijuana. Reform of marijuana laws is now vital to the fabric of this country and to the continuation of our experiment in democracy. Because marijuana law reform, folks, marijuana law reform is the only real starting point for progress in America. Show your support for San Diego Normal and Rudy Reyes. We have links at normalaudiostash.com. And get involved today with Normal. Visit norml.org. This has been Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com That's NORMLAUDIOSTASH.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 4:20 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. The podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.